TheTimeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
It's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And just whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemLanePromo.com. That's right, Memorabilia Lane. Go over there for all your collecting needs. They've got some fantastic stuff, so go check them out. But after the show, or open another tab if you're listening to us elsewhere or on WildTalkRadio.com. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, as always. And joining me is my, I guess, countrified producer, Sir Rockin.
Howdy, y'all. there's a theme why I played that. We'll get into it throughout the show.
If it has anything to do with tonight's Impact, oh my goodness.
Kind of, in a way. It has sort of to do with TNA, so... Yeah, it has something to do with TNA, and it's a theme for at least part of the music being played tonight.
Nice. So, yes, we are going to be talking all about TNA tonight. We've got Impact, which was exciting. We've got a little bit of news, but more than that, we've got Slammiversary, Pick'em, and Review. Ooh, and also, we've got our question of the night, which is what?
Who should TNA induct into their Hall of Fame this year? We know there's some longtime TNA fans out there that should give us an opinion. We got some nice answers and some interesting ones as well. So we'll get into that throughout the show tonight.
All right. Well, I say we just dive right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. If you're listening to us over there, hi!
Hello, everybody. Where do you want to begin?
Oh, my goodness. We have a lot of news.
A lot of stuff. We prepped the show, and then thought things broke today, and yeah.
Well, I say we start with the stuff that broke today.
I'll let you kick off with what started today, what you found today, that no one else is reporting right now.
Well, I found something interesting. I don't know. There's obviously validity to it, because if you go to corporate.wwe.com right now and go to their career section, you'll see that there's a writing position or two open. And it's not just any writing position. It is the lead writer for both Raw and SmackDown. They are advertising it on their career site right now. You can go and apply to it. If you meet the standards, they might just hire you. So for all you snarky fans out there that want or think you can write better than the current writing staff, I encourage you to go apply.
If you have
and
the
let us know.
If you have the talent, this is where you should go. You just need the experience and all the other requirements they want for the position, like know the product and been writing for years and all that fun jazz. So, if you've been doing that for years, by all means, give it a shot. But that leads to the biggest story of they're shaking up creative even more than they already have.
Yes, as we reported a couple weeks ago, I guess now, they let go the new lead writer that was only there for 6 weeks. Forget his name, unfortunately, but he was brought in and was shortly let go, not too long after he arrived. So obviously they're going to be hiring for that position. But what is more interesting is that the SmackDown position is also open, and I believe that was actually held by, I think his name is Dave Kapoor.
Dave Kapoor was Raw. Ed Koski was SmackDown, if I have my memory correct from what we talked about earlier. It's a little bit of a shakeup. This is the on-the-road crew, I believe, not the home crew. Because I think Michael Hayes is home crew, or road crew, whatever. Either way, the guys like Michael Hayes are still, and Stephanie still are the head-heads, but the lead writers, things are changing for the creative team. I'm kind of interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, this is something where it kind of made me scratch my head, because the jobs went up, the postings for the positions went up today.
Right.
They were up as of this afternoon about 3 p.m. East Coast time, which is when I got home from school, because my dad, ironically enough, actually sent me a job posting for WWE, which I had to laugh at. But that's the main reason why I was on the page, was because I was checking out a listing my dad sent me. But it kind of caught my attention when you see lead writer Raw, lead writer SmackDown on that page, because those positions don't come available too often, and usually they promote from within, so it appears that they're hiring from the outside this time.
And it makes you wonder what happens to guys like Dave Kapoor and Ed Koski. Do they get elevated higher in the company, or are they going to be let go?
Well, Koski got demoted.
Did he?
Remember when Gewirtz got removed?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Koski got demoted with Gewirtz, and I think Kapoor was still... I always remember Kapoor writing SmackDown. I don't remember him doing Raw, but he could have gotten moved over. So, and from what I always heard was Kapoor was hitting burnout.
Right.
Complete burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be he either potentially stepped down, or he got demoted, or he's taking vacation, or I don't know what. But, and yes, Rajan Singh, Great Khali's manager, is Dave Kapoor.
Yes.
Who is adorable.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's going to show... It's not going to show right away, but over time it could shape the way we see Monday Night Raw and SmackDown.
Yes, which... I'm curious to see how it more shapes SmackDown than Raw, just because SmackDown is always viewed as the inferior product, even though there for a while it was a lot stronger than Raw was.
Right.
So I'm interested to see who they bring in to replace the lead writers on both shows and what their vision is and how they move forward with it.
It'll be interesting if they even get, you know, they're going to be handed the ship, but it still lies with Vince at the end of the day, brother. And it'll be interesting if they can really put a stamp on the product.
It will be, yes.
It's going to be interesting, and you know, if they bring in somebody who is more with more drama, we could see more dramatic story, we could see more comedy storylines if they go in that direction. It all depends. It's going to be interesting to see what direction it takes over the summer.
Actually, you know what I really want to see?
You want to see them focus on females and get females involved in wrestling?
No.
No?
I've given up on that dream.
You want to see The Undertaker with turquoise nail polish?
Yes, with little Undertaker tees painted on in purple. No, what I want to see is I want to see character development.
Mm-hmm.
we're getting a lot of really great characters, which kind of leads into our next story of the fact that the Wyatt family is being called up from NXT. You are not familiar with the Wyatt family. For the love of God, go look them up on YouTube.
Now, this is where I asked the question, because we technically haven't talked about it here on this show. Last Friday, you went to a house show in Utah.
I did. And I did not get arrested, for anybody wondering.
Yes.
And everybody left. Nothing happened. I was very good.
Apparently she was on her best behavior, whatever that is.
I was on my best behavior, even though I was in grabby hands distance.
And I think someone in the chair was probably, you should have been at least scratched someone across the back once or twice.
If they were close enough, I would have. I think the saving grace was the Shield came out on the other side of the arena from where I was.
Yeah, that's their only saving grace. But the question I have is, because when you came home, we sat here and we talked about the show, and you were really excited about Bray Wyatt.
I was. They brought Bray Wyatt out here, we got to see him, and I kept using the word interesting.
Right.
Because there isn't really another way to describe Bray Wyatt, because he's money on the mic, he's tremendous in the ring, dude can go.
Especially for his size,
because you see him come out, and you look at him, and he's a little bit chubby, and it's like, okay, well, we'll see how this goes, and then he can go in the ring.
Right.
There's no question on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited because he's got this character that reminds the character, at least to me, just the way that he talks and the way that he looks and even the way he kind of moves, because the dude doesn't walk. He saunters.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that one.
Yeah, I have been for about a week now, yeah.
I know you have, but the character reminds me of a cross between Phineas Godwin, mm-hmm. Brother Love, and Jim Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting trio when you put them all three together.
And Eric Young's beard.
which is a person on its own.
It's an interesting trio, but it's such a unique gimmick. He's basically like a Southern evangelical cult leader,
right,
is what you would term it as, but it's not really stereotypical.
Right. See, Kane Kidd mentions the person I mentioned when you first brought it up to me was Waylon Mercy. And yeah, he has that kind of look and speak to him. It'll be interesting to see what kind of direction they actually go with them, but apparently a lot of people inside the company are excited over this.
The Wyatt family, the trio, which is Bray, and then unfortunately the other two escape my memory, but the whole basically group,
mm-hmm.
are by far the most talented or the highest regarded in NXT right now. It's the most over gimmick they have right now. And a lot of people in NXT and a lot of people on the road are extremely excited to have these three come up, just because of the gimmick is something right now that really nobody has on TV, in either company.
Right, and the other two gentlemen, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I'll learn your names, I promise.
Yeah, well, you haven't heard their names, so, you know, it'll take time. But, yeah.
And there was actually because the promo, if you didn't see Raw Monday night, they actually played a promo for the Wyatt family Monday night about in the third hour, I think, like halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And there was speculation on whether they were just going to bring up Bray or they were going to bring up the whole family. Because I mentioned this to Rock, where it's, we had a conversation, I think, a week or so ago about managers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I mentioned to Rock was seeing Bray in the ring. It's like, Bray can go, no question, but Bray can talk.
Right.
And with the way that his character is, and just seeing the trio together, he's a fantastic manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has the voice and he has the look of a guy who can... He can play a combo role. And I think that's exactly what he's going to play in the company.
I hope so.
Because he can go in a ring, but if you use him in certain situations, he'll make his appearances even better and more important when he actually gets in the ring. When shit needs to happen, he'll get in the ring and do it.
Yeah, I agree. But for the rest of it, basically we only get to see Bray Wyatt wrestle on very special occasions, I would say.
Right. So I'm looking forward to seeing more, and we're going to get some more strange promos probably in the next couple weeks. My gut tells me they'll be up on TV right after Payback.
I would guess so. I know.
It doesn't make any sense to bring them on before.
Yeah, with this close to the pay-per-view, you're right, it doesn't make any sense. And honestly, that way they'll get a fair shake coming in after the pay-per-view. And I know Bray, I don't think, is 100% ready. I don't think the other two are 100% ready. I know there's been calls backstage to have them ready ASAP. So they're probably doing the finishing touches, and as far as entrance videos go and music and all that kind of stuff, it takes a little bit of time, I don't know why I can't talk, to put that together.
Right.
And I'm sure they're still, at this point, trying to decide how they want to go with it.
They probably are, and we'll see what happens. Quickly, because we have a lot of news to get into, overall, what did you think of the show on last Friday?
The show was very good. We definitely got the better outing of the two house shows. SmackDown didn't... Poor SmackDown. We had a lot of the A talent. The best match by far was the Shield versus Kane, Dan O'Brien, and Sheamus match.
That's no Gio shocker there. No shocker there. That was the best match on the show.
And you... First of all, if you have never seen Roman Reigns in person, dude is huge.
Right.
Dude is massively huge, but they all three work so well together, and seeing Ambrose work in person was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed also with Cesaro.
Right.
That uppercut, whew.
Quite the impressive move, huh?
Quite the impressive move, especially when you see it in person. It's sucker looks every bit as hard in person as it does on TV.
You also got to see Shawn Michaels' Appreciation Night.
Yes, we got to see Shawn's beer before anybody else did. JR was there. I remember it. I remember when Shawn came out because we almost got ran over because where we were right on the aisle in between two sections. So we had a really nice view of the ring. Mm-hmm. In case anybody doesn't know, my friend Jomar went with me. Hi, Jomar. And so we were right on the end of a row in between two, so we could see the ring really nicely. And every time somebody came out, people would run up and security would have to run them off. But Sean was absolutely over. JR looked wonderful. He made cracks about having a script, which is awesome.
Go, JR.
Go, JR. And then, let's see, I'm trying to think of who else we saw. The main event was Ryback and Jericho, and I just would like to say, Ryback is nasty!
Right.
He's like a big, slimy, spitting, sweaty gorilla! Ew! Ew!
You also got to see the New Age Outlaws.
Oh my god, the lid blew off the arena when they came out, because I don't think a lot of people, at least a lot of people around us, weren't internet marks, because when the Outlaws came out, everybody was like, holy crap, they're here.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts is awesome. And he's cute. But, yeah, and I mentioned it, I think, on Sunday night or on Monday night. When Rhodes Scholars came out, they had sound effects as they were introducing each other. which somebody got a drum roll, and I think the other one was a bell.
Yeah. Yeah, a drum roll and a bell. That's what I think what you told me. I know a drum roll for sure was what you told me.
A drum roll for sure, and I can't remember what the other one. They each had two different things. So, yeah, but Road Scholars are tremendous in person. I mean, pretty much everybody was tremendous in person. Caitlin is much prettier.
So for those paying attention at home, it was Kofi Kingston defeated Antonio Cesaro.
Yes.
Caitlin beat Tamina.
With Vicky managing.
You had Dean Ambrose take on R-Truth for the U.S. title.
To a no contest.
But these results apparently have Dean Ambrose beating R-Truth. Anyway, Hell No and Sheamus, as Lindsay said, took on the Shield. The Outlaws beat Team Road Scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt beat Zack Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryback beat Chris Jericho.
Yes, in a rather lackluster Falls Count Anywhere match, I believe.
It was no DQ.
It was one of those.
Now, the chat room asks, oh, so what was left for the SmackDown tour? Well, here was the SmackDown show, really quickly the next day. Fandango beat The Miz. Justin Gabriel beat Kurt Hawkins. Natalya beat Oksana. Alberto Del Rio beat Big E. Brodus Clay beat Darren Young, and it turned into tons of funk beating primetime players. Sin Cara beat Heath Slater, and Sheamus beat Wade Barrett by disqualification.
Yeah, we got the better show. I heard that, and I was like, yeah, we got the better show. Mm-hmm. We got the way better show.
Yeah, there was a little bit of lacking star power on that SmackDown show.
Yeah.
Since Ziggler, yes. Orton, and Big Show, and Mark Henry, and yeah, were not on the show. Same with Swagger.
Well, Swagger couldn't travel due to legal
reasons, yeah.
Reasons, yes.
Now, we mentioned Kofi Kingston.
We did mention Kofi.
Something's up with Kofi, isn't it?
Something's up with Kofi. Kofi had to get surgery on his elbow.
And he's supposedly out 4 to 8 weeks. That's a rough estimate. It could be longer, could be shorter.
When I saw him last week, he looked fine. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. He could have not been showing the pain. Could have happened after they came through. Could have happened on Raw. I don't think we know exactly when the injury occurred or what it is.
It's an elbow injury. So they're going to have to go in there and take a look around. So once they get inside the elbow, they'll know exactly what the problem is. Probably has been locking up on him, my gut tells me, so he has to once again get it looked at. So they'll go in, look at it, and see what they need to clean up.
Well, hopefully it's not too bad, and hopefully he gets better soon, because, oh my gosh, they're desperate people.
They need some people, and Kofi's one of the better workers, so hopefully he gets back soon, rather than later.
Yes. I tell you what's opening soon rather than later?
What's that?
The WWE Performance Center. We have an official date. It is set to open July 8th.
Ooh.
It's a week later than originally scheduled, but they have given that firm date. It is set to open, and gracing it will be a pair of new WWE signees.
Samurai del Sol and Sammy Callahan are reportedly signed with World Wrestling Entertainment and will be starting with the company within the next couple months. I know for one, Sammy Callahan has some dates left on the indie scene that he will be finishing up. Same with the other Samurai del Sol. So they'll be eventually working their way there, probably by the end of the summer.
So, looking forward to seeing them. That should be exciting.
Mm-hmm. It should be
coming to NXT near you.
Coming to an NXT near you this fall. Samurai del Sol and Sammy Callahan with new names.
And new gimmicks.
And all that fun stuff. Wouldn't it be interesting, they took the mask off of El Generico and they put one on one of those two.
Well, Del Sol has one.
Yeah, Del Sol has one. They took the mask off of Del Sol and they put it on Callahan.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
It would just be the ultimate, hey, look at that. Look what we do.
Oh, hey, look at this thing.
It's a mask, people. It's a mask. This thing is a mask that covers this thing. Anyway. Now, Lindsay.
Yes.
We talked about surgery before. Another person went under surgery this past week.
Oh, yeah? Who?
One Eric Young.
Ooh. What did he have surgery for?
The polyps on his throat. This is like the 16th surgery he's had on it.
Right. He's got a medical condition where he's got to get them removed every once in a while.
Yeah, so he's been getting them since like 7 years old. He's been getting surgery on them, so he's doing well, which is good. And he has a new show coming. His show returns in June, so you should all check out Off the Hook Extreme Catches on Animal Planet when it hits. I believe it's the middle to the end of June, so you want to check your local listings for that. But yeah, it's good to see he's made it through surgery and is on the mend.
So get well soon, EY. Mm-hmm. Go catch some of those snakeheads or whatever the fish with the teethies.
Yeah, those things with the teeth and the things in the waters.
The fish that can walk on the land.
That dude. Yeah,
go get them.
That thing.
That thing.
That thing. So now, one of the bigger stories that's been floating around, Lindsay, has to deal with, well, this. We're going to Bedrock. At least WWE is going to Bedrock.
Ooh, who are they taking with them?
Vince McMahon, John Cena, and CM Punk.
CM Punk and Bedrock. This should be funny.
His name is going to be, of course, CM Punk Rock. How clever is that name?
Not as clever as John Cena Stone. Or Vince McMagma.
At least Vince McMagma was a little bit clever. John Cena Stone, yeah, not as much. But hey, they're coming to the Bedrock, and that's all that matters. It's going to be airing in 2015. They deal with Warner Brothers. The first one is going to be Scooby-Doo. Then it's going to be the Flintstones. You know what? The little kid in me goes, I want to see this.
The little kid in me saw this story and went, shut up and take my money. If they're doing the voices, shut up and take my money. Just because I want to see CM Punk in Bedrock. Yeah. Do us all a favor and GTS Mr. Slate. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing.
Now I'm picturing Bam Bam trying to get all tough with John Cena.
Well, he's got to put the kid over,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah. If John Cena has to, you know, John Cena should at least put the kid over.
At least we can hope.
I mean, come on, Superman.
It's a kid!
It's a kid. Now, the question is, I don't know this, and someone should correct me. Who owns the right to the Superman cartoon?
Is it Warner Brothers?
I don't know. If it's Warner Brothers, God help us if that ever happens.
If that ever happens, I think the internet will explode.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so. Yeah.
John Cena joins the Justice League for a day. Holy crap.
It's a Marvel Comics thing, but.
No, Superman is. I thought Superman was DC.
Is it DC? Superman's DC. Okay. So
yeah, Superman's DC.
Who owns DC? Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers owns DC.
Okay. So.
Because I think Warner Brothers produced the new Justice League that was out not too long ago.
Well, you know it's coming then. If they're because they're in bed with Warner Brothers, so.
again, if John Cena appears as Superman or appears alongside Superman, the internet will burst.
According to Wikipedia, thanks to Top Man in the chat room, says Warner Brothers. So,
well, it depends. Are they in bed with Warner Brothers or are they in bed with Hanna-Barbera?
Warner Brothers, because they're the ones producing it.
Okay. Well,
just throwing it
Scooby, Scooby and Fred are Hanna-Barbera, so, you know, you gotta get your cartoon context. You
know? I know. So,
and that's
I'm just putting
really
it
sad I know that.
Only your friendship with an Omega, so.
No, worse. I grew up on that stuff.
Well, we all did. We all did. At least, I hope we all did.
If you did not grow up on Hanna-Barbera, go watch it now. El Cabong rules.
So there you go. Wikipedia is correct. CM Punk is Lex Luthor. Ooh.
No. CM Punk takes over for Lex Luthor.
There you go. So, yeah, Warner Brothers, Flintstones coming soon in 2015. WWE goes to Bedrock.
Yay!
Moving into a little bit of a TNA news, because they've had some stories going on. We talked about Eric Young, but tonight they announced where Bound for Glory is going.
They did.
Exactly where are they headed?
Well, they're headed to the sunny West Coast into beautiful San Diego, California, which I'm sure makes Daniels and Kazarian and Joe and a lot of people happy.
No flying to the East Coast. We get to stay home for Bound for Glory is what they're saying. Just a car ride up.
And I know TNA has been wanting to get into this market.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it makes them very happy they get to stay home, and it will be a nice entrance into the market for them with Bound for Glory, because I'm sure they'll be doing house shows and impacts along the West Coast, which means they may come out here!
Huh.
And of course, by then, I'll probably be gone.
Most likely. No. I doubt it.
We'll have to see, but yeah, it should be interesting for sure. I'm curious to see how they do in a California market.
They've been out there once before, I know, for Bound for Glory, but this is kind of cool. They're going back out to San Diego. It should be fun. Tickets, you can get ticket packages, I believe, next Friday, I think, they go on sale.
So everybody, go buy your tickets. Now. Sell it out. Now.
Sell it out, yes. Sell that place out.
Please, sell it out so they'll come back out to the West Coast more often.
So there you go. Now, speaking of staying on TNA, Lindsay.
Hmm.
That brother dude kind of almost blew off his hand.
Oh my goodness, yes, he did, didn't he?
Oh, if you haven't seen the pictures, they're kind of gross.
Don't go look at the pictures if you have a weak stomach. Please, don't go. Even though Hogan issued an apology, don't. Seriously, like, just don't.
Yeah, just don't. Apparently a radiator exploded in his home, and
yeah. Was it on his house, or was it on his boat? Because I read it was his boat.
All right, then on his boat. Either way, it might have been the boat. I'm not 100% sure. But a radiator exploded, I guess, on the boat, and kaboom went the hand. He posted out some graphic photos, and yeah, that's kind of nasty. So,
that was no bueno. Not cool, Hogan. Not cool at all.
So, we'll see what kind of shape his hand is on Sunday when he shows up for Slammiversary. Because if it's bad, he's lucky.
That's right, because tonight was taped.
He's going to be lucky if he's lucky that he didn't lose his hand.
He's very lucky. So we'll see how badly bandaged up it is and how much he's doing with it on Sunday.
Yes, we shall see. To answer your question in the chat room, just Stone Anniversary, post your predictions on the Facebook page. You know the Facebook page, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. This goes for anyone out there if you're listening to us in the archive. You will win a prize courtesy of the folks at MemLeanPromo.com. All you have to do is submit the picks for Slammiversary this Sunday. The full card will give out during the show, and it'll, you know, go off the one that we'll post on the website, on the Facebook tomorrow. The tiebreaker will be, as Ken Ken suggested, the first team eliminated in the four-way tag team match on Sunday. So there's the deals for the details for that. We'll get more into that later in the show. But he was asking in chat room, how do you enter? You get another autograph, so it's kind of cool. So enter now, tell your friends. We are giving away stuff courtesy of MemLanePromo.com.
Yes.
Anything else in the news, Lindsay?
Well, Kurt Angle says that he might be open to a WWE return before he retires.
The question is, do we want to see Kurt Angle back in WWE?
You know, honestly, I don't think there's really a place for him anymore.
And as sad as it is, he's been in TNA in TNA longer than he was in WWE.
Yeah, and when you think of Angle, you think of him as a TNA guy, honestly, and he's done more good there, really, than he did in WWE.
Yeah, he kind of has.
And the only reason I could see him wanting to go back would obviously be the payday, and if that's the reason, good on him, but he can't really go like he used to.
No, he can't. He's not the same Kurt Angle he once was. But at the same time, it would be interesting to see him mix it up with some of the newer talent and maybe get that one last Mania match. You know, it would be funny. A rematch of WrestleMania 19. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar.
That would be interesting.
Kurt Angle, Undertaker.
No.
Kurt Angle, John Cena?
If they did it straight wrestling, if they actually let John Cena do more than 5 moves, I would probably want to see it.
Kurt Angle versus The Shield?
That would be interesting, especially if they put him against Ambrose.
That could be awesome.
Yeah. I tell you, no, I've got it! I've got the match!
Okay.
Kurt Angle versus Jack Swagger. Winner gets the ankle lock.
Producer face palms.
By the way, I'm not rumored to join the Aces and Eights. I'm full on Aces and Eights. Rock on. Unless Storm is involved or Joseph Park, and then my allegiances change. And we will get to the rumored TNA signing when we talk about TNA after the break.
Yes, we're actually going to get into a little bit in the discussion later in the show, because it's kind of interesting. It makes you wonder who exactly has signed with that company.
Yes. And before we go to break, we've got one last story. Speaking of Kurt Angle, it's a nice tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Olympic wrestling has been saved for the 2020 games. It made the initial first cut list, so it is still, at least right now, temporarily on the games. So right now, Olympic wrestling is still on. However, we'll have to see if that holds true later on.
Right. So I believe it's end of July this next round of go around.
Right. So for anybody championing the cause, we are definitely championing it here. Please keep letting the IOC know you want to see the Olympics on the Olympics. Or, I'm sorry, you want to see wrestling on the Olympics. That didn't make any sense. Sorry. Let them know. Tweet them. Write them. Email them. Don't threaten them. Please don't. Remember,
if you threaten them, we here at World Talk Radio Network cannot be held responsible for any threats you make to the IWC.
IOC.
IOC. Or the IWC. Either way. We're not being held responsible for any of it.
Yes, but let them know that you want to see wrestling on the Olympic Games, especially in 2020, and for the remainder of life.
Because it's wrestling. It's real. It's damn real.
Damn it.
So that's all the news we got.
That's all the news we got. Sorry, we had a lot. So we're going to go ahead and kick it to the first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact, what happened on the go-home show for Slammiversary. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, and we will be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Showtime, Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com. And we are getting ready to jump all into Impact, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven, which is, I almost said home, let's get their tagline right, sorry, the haven for TNA fans.
Mm-hmm. This was an interesting show tonight. We got some nice build-up, final build for Slammiversary, and a little bit of a tease for what's to come with a certain couple knockouts.
Yeah. They actually pushed it past this pay-per-view tonight, which was very well done, I would have to say. Although, I have a little bit of a gripe about that segment when we get there.
Okay, we'll get there in a little bit. But let's start off the show tonight.
We start off the show tonight with the Aces and Eights backstage. They are in a mood and licking their wounds after last week's embarrassment involving AJ Styles, where he kind of ditched them. He teased them. And then he ditched them.
Yeah, he kind of did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That jerk.
I'm with you. Psych!
No, I'm not!
Me gonna hit you in head with the hammer instead. Sorry.
Yeah. But he got his shots in on Kurt Angle first.
Well, yeah. He got his shots on Kurt first, but yeah.
So, anyway, Bully says that AJ is priority one tonight. And that they will take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. They basically say they're gonna take care of business, and they all head to the ring. Or at least D'Lo and Bully do. Or I'm sorry, Bully and D-Von. Get the names right.
Mm-hmm.
But D'Lo and Anderson hang back.
Why are they hanging back?
Well, D'Lo wants to offer his consolation to Mr. Anderson over the AJ embarrassment. He says, you know, basically, well, dude, that sucks. And, well, Mr. Anderson responds in typical asshole fashion by knocking D'Lo on his ass. And then leaving him there. And I couldn't tell if he hit him with his fist or if he slapped the crap out of him with the gloves.
Either way, he laid him the hell out.
He did, and by the way, D'Lo was holding his face, it looked like the gloves. Mm-hmm. Which, if that was the case, ooh, that had to sting.
Yeah, it kind of did.
But then we cut to the ring where Bully and D'Von are heading out. Bully's anxious for Sunday. He can't wait to kick Sting's ass in Boston. He runs down Sting's victories over Ric Flair, to which we got a very, very funny D'Von moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan, and of course, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I love the strut from D'Von.
That was fantastic.
It was a nice little strut he did.
Bully says that, well, he beat Jeff Hardy too. In fact, he beat him for the title, and he beat his ass so bad that he sent him right out of TNA, and Hardy's never coming back.
Never, ever, 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 ever will we see Jeff Hardy in TNA, according to Bully Ray.
Even though Dixie Carter sort of announced today he was coming back. Shh. Anyway. Sorry. Is Matt in the chat room?
Yeah.
Do we need to do the spoiler alert?
Do we need to do the spoiler alert for Matt? Give me a second. Let's find the spoiler alert. Just so we're all kosher here.
Spoiler alert!
Hi, Matt. I love how I asked that. Is Matt in the chat room? And he shows up.
Uh-huh.
It's like magic.
Magic how that happens.
Anyway. Bully can't wait any longer. He's impatient. He wants to get the show on the road. He then demands that Sting and Joseph Park come out to the ring so they can get their asses kicked, which leads us to the first contest of the evening of Joseph Park and Sting taking on Bully and D'Von.
They weren't wasting any time getting right to a match, and, you know, why should they? It's Impact Wrestling, new time slot. Let's get the action on and fast and furious.
Well, this was interesting because this wasn't the first way that they did this tonight, or this wasn't the only match that they did this tonight, where they had the promo lead directly into the contest that it was tied to.
Well, it's smart booking.
Oh, it is. It's very smart booking. It was kind of interesting, because you would think with Sting involved, that would have been the main event.
Especially with Sting and Bully Ray involved. Yeah, it would be your main event.
Yeah.
But it was like, not. It was not the main event.
You're sitting there going, oh, okay, so we're doing this first.
We're getting this right out of the way. And by the way, before we get into the match, good stuff by Bully Ray. Set the table for the pay-per-view.
It was a really nice promo. It really set up well. It got, at least it got me excited for the match. And it makes you wonder how the night is going to end, especially when they went into the match. Because, like, well, okay, what's the main? How is it going to end if this isn't the main event?
Right. And this, now transitioning into the match, this was a pretty good match.
It was. There were only a couple hiccups, but other than that, it was a really nice match. They had some good back and forth.
Yeah, some good back and forth. We had an almost attempted double Scorpion Deathlock as Joseph tried to figure out how to do the move.
Yes, which was hilarious.
A little bit hilarious. He got shoved into Sting, and you know they were able to recover from that. But then we heard a familiar tune during the match.
We did. Sting was hoping that, well, Joseph Park's brother, you know, Abyss,
you know, that guy,
which that guy would show up for the match and possibly the pay-per-view. But Sting strongly hinted to Joseph that it would be amazing if Abyss showed up, and well, he sort of showed up.
He sort of did. We heard the music play. Joseph Park was really excited. Oh my god, my brother's here.
He was calling him down to the ring. Come on, come on, Abyss, come on.
But where's Abyss?
No Abyss. What happened to him?
What happened to Abyss? Where is he? He was nowhere to be seen.
Where did he go?
I don't know. But this little distraction allowed them to take control and get the victory.
With Sting, I believe, getting the pin over
On Devon with the Scorpion Death Drop.
So, nice little finish.
Nice finish. Nice match. Advanced both storylines heading in the show. What makes you wonder, where's Abyss?
Will we see Abyss Sunday?
That's the big question. Will we see Abyss this Sunday? Because it will be Joseph Park taking on Devon for the TV title. Yes, a TV title defense. How about that? We'll get into that more later.
Didn't he actually have the belt with him tonight?
Yeah, he always has the belt with him. He just never defends it.
Oh, good point. Anyway, after the match, we have Dixie Carter shown backstage, and she's headed to the ring as we go into the first break of the night. Then we come back to a very, very, very hot Kurt Angle. He basically says he's got his eye on AJ, and he's going to be watching AJ's match very closely. There is mutual respect between the two, or at least Angle believes, but AJ does have hell to pay.
Mm-hmm. Price will be paid at the anniversary for what he did.
Oh, yes. Your comeuppance do come.
And they will come Sunday when Kurt Angle takes on AJ Styles.
And this also leads to the tease of Styles versus Anderson later in the evening.
It does, but then we come to the ring, and the president of TNA is in the ring, one Dixie Carter. With a brand new hairdo, it looked weird.
Yeah, I'd agree. The bangs aren't doing it for her.
The bangs kind of looked kind of weird, but that's the thing I noticed. And apparently she was in gimmick infringement because she was wearing an orange dress. And, you know, when it comes to wearing orange dresses, it's Taz's gimmick?
Taz in an orange dress, there's a scary sight.
There's your scary sight of the night.
I hope he waxes beforehand.
Because he's got legs and knows how to use them?
I'll take your word for it on that one.
What did Dixie Carter have to say?
Well, Dixie talked all about TNA's growth, where it's come in the past 11 years. She basically puts over the pay-per-view. She puts over the Hall of Fame. She announces that the next inductee of the TNA Hall of Fame will be announced at Slammiversary Sunday. So if you want to find out who it's going to be, you got to get the pay-per-view or just wait 3 hours and it'll be on the internet.
And you can listen to Russell Talk Radio 11 p.m. Eastern as we discuss it all. But if you want to know, we want to know who you think is the next member of TNA Hall of Fame. It's our question tonight, which we'll answer later in the show.
Ding! Shameless plug.
Yeah.
She then talks about last year's inductee who will be facing Bully Ray this Sunday for the TNA heavyweight title, Mr. Scorpion Deathlock himself, Sting. Mm-hmm. She wishes him all the luck in the match, and she hopes he's victorious against that dastardly Bully Ray. But before she can continue, she is interrupted by the Aces and Eights. Get Wes, Garrett, and Steve all walk out. Garrett gets in the ring, and he wants to know where the love is for the Aces and Eights. How come she's not wishing them luck? You know, they're feeling left out.
They want some love from Dixie Carter, you know. Where's Bully Ray's good luck?
Yeah, where's Bully Ray's good luck? Where's Devon's good luck?
You know, where's their good luck? Come on now. They want some love.
Come on, Dixie.
Show some love.
So show some love, you know, Dixie refuses, and then Garrett says, you know, they don't need her love. They don't want her love, because you know what? Come Sunday, it's going to be more like a funeral. After the Aces and Eights are victorious. Garrett, Wes, and Steve then proceed to corner Dixie in the ring, but she is thankfully saved by one Joe and Magnus.
Yeah, the two men ran right down, and they were ready. They were ready to go.
You want to talk about hot? Joe was hot.
He gets
on the mic and talks about picking out stitches and healing wounds and sitting at home and seething for a month, which if you can imagine Samoa Joe sitting in one place, seething for a month, that is a terrifying proposition.
Mm-hmm. Picking stitches out of his head, that's a scary sight.
You know, Joe compliments the fact that Garrett clearly isn't a man because, well, he has no problem picking on a woman. And Joe then challenges Garrett's manhood and offers to have him get in the ring so they can go one-on-one and Joe can show him the man that he will never be.
Yeah, you can beat him into the man he'll never be, yeah. Great promo by Joe. And Garrett Bischoff showing some chops tonight and showing some balls, too.
Oh, yes.
He grew a set tonight.
And he stepped up against Joe. You know, did this match ever really get started?
Not really. You had a little bit of fighting. They went to break, came back, a little bit more fighting, and then we had some outside interference. Magnus was trying to fight off the Aces and Eights, and they were able to. And then, well, they picked up a microphone, and Joe had a little bit more to say.
He did have a little bit more to say. By the way, Kane Kitten's corner now.
Yeah.
I just checked the chat. Corner. Now. Go. The match ends pretty much in chaos. It's a no contest. You have Joe come in through the second rope where he takes out Wes, Garrett, and Steve. What Joe then calls them all three cowards, but you know what? He's got a contingency plan for cowards. He's gone to Mr. Hulk Hogan, and he's made himself a little match. We find out that on Sunday, it will be Wes, because I have to sing it at least once, Garrett and Steve taking on Joe, Magnus, and somebody else. Somebody who's, well, we were told was coming out back, then we were told he wasn't coming back, and now apparently he's coming back. Mr. Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy's returning for Slammiversary, and he'll be part of the 6-man tag team matchup. And the one quote you missed was, because it led to a chant by the crowd, Joe called Doc, a.k.a. Steve the Armbreaker, a big shaved ape.
Yes. Yes.
Well done, Joe.
I forgot to write that down.
Well done, Joe.
And Steve's reaction was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Kinkins, there are no cookies allowed in the corner.
Saying. You're grounded, young man. No cookies. Get to your corner, now.
A nice setup for the match Sunday.
It was. It's okay. Well, this should be exciting, especially if they walk in with the same intensity that they had tonight, which hopefully they do.
Hopefully they do.
Especially considering the fact that this was taped last week.
But, you know, Joe's on fire right now, so let's hope it continues Sunday.
Yes, but up next we get the exciting new pair of Stormy McStormy and Gunner.
What was that again?
Stormy McStormy.
Stormy McStormy, okay. It's a new one.
All right. Yeah, new one. Yeah, gotta come up with new names for him and constantly keep it going.
It's been a while since you came up with a new name for Storm, so Stormy McStormy works. Sounds like a soap opera character. Whatever.
Well, isn't... No, never mind. Moving on.
What? No, was that your point?
Isn't he kind of a soap opera character?
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, Storm basically puts Gunner over as a beast. He says he's been to war, he's killed people, and Storm's pretty sure Gunner will kill people for him, if necessary, but that they're going to war and he's got the right person by his side.
Stormy McStormy picked the right guy for the showdown Sunday, as at least it seems that way.
Well, we're going to find out, because there's an 8-man tag coming up next, supposedly. But before we get there, something happened after the break.
Yes, we came back from break, we got the hype for the AJ Styles-Anderson match later in the show. We were backstage with Hulk Hogan. He was shown exasperated as he addressed his daughter, Brooke. Brooke said she just needs Hulk to understand that Ray is tugging at her heartstrings. Aww. So she needs to process this from last week, because, you know, Bully Ray still loves her. Aww. These little kids, they're still so much in love.
Don't fall for it. By the way, Matt, you are so not off the hook. We will give you crap in due time. Brooke, just let us get through this recap.
Brooke said it's hard because she thought she once knew a guy and she can't focus on the knockouts division with Bully Ray walking around. Oh, Brooke is torn. What's going on with Brooke? Is she going to turn on her father and join up with the man that she might still love? That she still might have feelings for?
Brooke Hogan and Aces and Eights. I don't see it.
You don't see it, but it's possible.
Oh, it could totally happen. In fact, everybody's expecting it to happen, but honestly, I would hope they don't do it.
Yeah, I hope they don't do it either, but, you know, as the Brooke turns, continues on.
Dun, dun, dun! Sorry, I had to.
I know. Yeah. It was a nice setup.
Anyway, backstage we come back from yet another break, where we now get the 8-man tag featuring Bad Influence in the Dirty Hills taking on Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, and of course Stormy McStormy and Gunner.
Nice little match here. Like, you know, I liked how at one point Aries wanted nothing to do with Gunner's either at one point, so he tied it rude and just said, "You got this, Bobby. You got this."
Mm-hmm.
This was nice. They were all kind of scared of Gunner, which is what they would need to do. They need to make him look like a legit threat in this match come Sunday. And then you just... by the way, Gunner won with the torch rack on Austin Aries. Then you had Stormy McStormy in this match. Or not in this match.
Hey, you know what? He did an important job. He held down the ring apron, and he made sure his hair looked good.
I guess that's an important job, making sure the apron is level and his hair looks good. But yeah... Good stuff. I enjoyed this match.
The bad guys were absolute gold in this match.
Oh yeah, you expect that from the four men in on that heel side, Bad Influence, and their dirty heels.
But also Hernandez with those shoulder blocks. Holy crap!
Yeah, that man could throw some shoulder blocks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, King Kittens, you're right. It was tiring, and it took a lot of beer to do that.
If anyone knows about beer, it is Von James Stone.
But yes, hey, yes he does. I'm sure he's an expert.
Hey, it was a nice match. It's again, as I've been saying throughout the night, another solid match to get us to the pay-per-view.
I would have to argue this was potentially match of the night. It's a close between this one and the main event.
Yeah. I'm gonna lean towards this one a little bit. For some reason, this one stood out more than the other one.
If you think about it, you've got eight guys in the ring together. It could be a complete cluster, and they put together a really nice, very solid, very physical match.
And it raised my expectations for this matchup Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it.
Right, and it's, hey, you know, look at, I think it was more, look at Bad Influence and Bobby and Aries working together.
Mm-hmm.
That was tremendous.
It was.
But after this match, we have AJ arriving on his light-up motorcycle.
He's not as fancy as Jericho with a light-up jacket. He has a light-up motorcycle.
Dude, if you're trying to be stealth, that's not the way you do it. Just pointing that out.
But then we went into the Aces and Eights headquarters.
Yes, we did.
Bully Ray was kind of mad and yelling at everybody, you know. He tapped Mr. Anderson on the shoulder and told him to take care of AJ Styles tonight. He wanted to discuss Joseph Park, but Devon cut him off and was all kinds of fired up and basically said he will get the job done at the pay-per-view, and Ray told him, you better. Then they said Jeff Hardy shouldn't even be walking, much less returning at the pay-per-view. What happened, Bully? You said he wasn't going to be there, but now he is. And then he singled out Garrett, Steve, and West, that they better take out Joe and Magnus and Hardy, and, well, then he has a special job for Nux, who was all giddy about it. He was like, finally! But then at Bully Ray, he basically declared war on Impact Wrestling. Kind of makes you wonder. They weren't at war before, why are they at war now? It seemed like they were at war for the last, you know, year.
It had to get approved by Congress.
Gosh, it does take a while. Ray said he wants victims, and he wants them all over the place. And he said if he doesn't get victims, they all might end up like D'Lo Brown. And that even includes Devon.
Although this raises a question from this promo.
Okay.
What if, say, Bully doesn't get the job done?
That would be interesting.
Pointing that out, it's, you know, well, anybody and everybody can be demoted. Anybody and everybody can wind up like D'Lo. Mm-hmm. So does that include Bully? We know it includes Demon, but does it include Bully too? Because, well, Bully's got to get the job done just like the rest of them.
Yeah, he does. He does.
But this was a great promo.
Really nice promo. Again, sets the table.
Got me really excited for all the matches, especially when Devon's like, I will take Parks and Abyss down.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty special, pretty spectacular stuff. And of course, Steve emphasizes the fact that they have to get the job done.
Yeah, they got to get this job done. That's for sure.
But up next, we see Mickey walking to the ring. We go to break, and after we come back from break, we get a really, really, really nice ad for Bound for Glory.
Yeah, they were all saying Bound for Glory, and then what was interesting, everyone said it in English, and then someone said it in Spanish. I believe it was Hernandez.
Yeah, I think it was Hernandez that said it.
By the way, speaking of foreign languages, apparently for the first time ever, live at ringside, the French announced team this Sunday.
Bonjour.
Oui. As far as my French goes.
Très, très joli.
English, please?
Yay.
Okay. I don't know French. I never took French. I took Spanish.
That's pretty much the extent of my French.
So if you know French, you can call into the show and leave us a voicemail at 267-297-1397 in French. Why? Because it would make me laugh. Mickey James in the ring.
Mickey James in the ring. She comes out with her brand new title. She's showing her off. She says, it feels good to be the champ. She thanks the fans for supporting her throughout the past year. She puts over her album and, of course, her title win. She says the title win is the greatest thing she's ever done. But, well, she needs to address something.
Oh, what does she have to address?
She wants to address all the negative Nellies out there who are doubting her title win.
Mm.
That they're saying, well, she won it in a questionable manner.
The negative Nellies.
I know. Just.
By the way, when she said that, the way she said that, that was tremendous.
What?
Just the tone of her voice in the promo when she was talking about the negativity. It was a nice little subtle tone.
Yeah, like basically, screw you all.
Mm-hmm.
little bit of the bitch coming out.
Little bit.
And there was plenty more to follow, which was awesome. So Mickey decides, well, she's going to lay these rumors to rest. She's going to, you know, assuage everybody's fears and concerns. So what does she do? She calls out One Velvet Sky, who comes out with her knee nicely wrapped. She's selling the injury, except for the fact that she's wearing 4-inch heels.
Well, you got to look good.
Who wears heels with a knee injury?
Velvet Sky.
You're going to sell it! Sell it! Good lord. Sorry. I had to put that out there. I really, really had to put that out there because it's like, when I saw that, I'm sitting there going, oh my god, just facepalmed. Because again, who wears 4-inch heels with a knee injury?
Velvet Sky.
Velvet Sky. Anyway, Mickey puts Velvet over. She compliments what a great champion she was, how wonderful she looks, how great she is, how glorious she is. There was a little bit of cattiness behind it, but still, it was Mickey puts Velvet over. Velvet then thanks Mickey and the fans for all the support, but she says that she wants her rematch, which of course Mickey says she can have when she's recovered. Velvet then goes and says, no, I want my rematch at Slammiversary. Mickey then says, no, that's not possible since Brooke Hogan has already set Gail versus Taryn at Slammiversary. I don't understand why there can't be two women's matches on the card, but apparently there can only be one. And it's Gail versus Taryn.
Mm-hmm.
So Mickey says, but after Slammiversary, Velvet is more than welcome to have her rematch.
Yeah, when Mickey went up to Brooke a couple weeks ago, she was like, you know, I want a shot title, I want to be on the pay-per-view. Well, we already have our pay-per-view match, but you can get your title shot. So that's her out, because it was what Brooke Hogan did say a couple weeks ago.
It was, but again, why can't we have two women's matches on the card?
I don't know. So maybe after, maybe she'll get that title shot. But then somebody interrupted.
That's right. Just to add to the little cattiness fest, we have Gail Kim come out. She then says that, well, the only reason Mickey has the title is because of her, because Gail softened up Velvet for Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
She then listed that she says that she took out Tara, boo, and she's going to take out Taryn Terrell. In fact, she's going to take her to school tonight and Sunday. And once she's done with that, well, she's going to come for Mickey's title.
Ooh.
Velvet then interrupts and says that she's first in line and Gail needs to take a step back. The two argue, the two brawl, while Mickey stands there completely confused, which is awesome.
Or acting confused.
Quotations. Air quotes. Confused.
Hmm.
Taryn comes out, makes the save for Velvet, and the fight gets broken up. Nikki leaves, and we go into the next contest of the evening, which is Kenny King and Gail Kim taking on Taryn Terrell and Chris Sabin.
Nice little match ahead.
Sabin and King had some really nice back and forths in this match.
They did. They really did. It makes me look forward to, again, Sunday.
Yeah, this did a lot to help sell me on the X match.
Yes. Chris Sabin picked up the win for the team, then grabbed the microphone, was talking about how it's been 2 years of rehab, and this Sunday will be his moment to become the 5-time TNA X Division champion. Before he can finish that all out, Kenny King attacks Sabin from behind. King then went for his finisher, but Suicide made the save, and King bailed out, and we had a stare down between Suicide and Chris Sabin.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we'll get into a little bit later, but yeah. Nice match, a nice little promo, gets us all set for Sunday.
Yeah, I wasn't really excited for this match, and then when you see Suicide and Sabin staring at each other over the belt, it's like, okay, yeah.
It's going to be on. We'll get into this later, but Chris Sabin in an Ultimate X match. Okay, then.
Let's hope it goes well.
Knock on wood.
Take care of yourself, Sabin. Please don't do anything crazy stupid.
Yes.
Everybody in that match, for that matter, please don't do anything crazy stupid.
Yes. We then got a nice little video package talking about Sting, his title victories. Sting said his title challenge against Bully Ray is about taking power away from Bully Ray. He said this is his one chance to drive a stake through the heart of Bully Ray.
And what was interesting was we got a Jeff Jarrett drop in this.
We got a Jeff Jarrett drop. We didn't get in the live promo, we got it in the taped package. Smart way around that one. But then we have main event time. AJ Styles, Mr. Anderson.
This was a really good match.
Yeah, good match. These two work well together. But this match did not end cleanly, did it, Lindsay?
No, after a very hard-fought physical match between the two, basically the match ends in chaos. I believe I think Anderson picks up the victory over AJ with the assist from Aces and Eights.
No, it was Kurt Angle who attacked first.
That's right, I'm sorry. I didn't actually get to see the finish. So.
Kurt Angle ran in, caused a disqualification, he attacked Styles. Styles gets a win via disqualification. They brawled. Aces and Eights came out. They all brawled around. We had a final confrontation between Sting and Bully Ray as they shared shots back and forth. Team 3D was able to hit a 3D on Sting, laying out the number one contender right before the pay-per-view. Nice ending to the show. Nice climactic ending.
It was. It really was. It was a nice way to build to the pay-per-view where you have Aces and Eights standing tall. And it left some things in doubt for the Slammiversary pick'em.
It does. It really does. Which we will be getting into after the break.
That's right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Slammiversary. We've got Tweet of the Week and, of course, our Question of the Night discussion. So you're listening to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Save you. He'll take your nail and be the one that crucifies you. every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Scream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, a motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go.
That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. It is.
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to be plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemorabiliaLayMembranePromo.com. Sorry to screw up your name. And now we are going to talk all about Slammiversary, the upcoming TNA pay-per-view this Sunday. But before we get there, we've got one of our most favorite segments, which, of course, is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Tweet of the Week time.
Who wants to go first?
Well, you should go first so I don't take your picks. Yes, and we have a fancy graphic with the Tweet of the Week now. It has its own little graphic.
Well, you may have to take it down because I have a video that you're going to have to share with the viewing public.
Oh, you have a video? What's the video?
You'll see.
Oh, well, God. You know, you have to tell me about these things. If you're getting an ad on the thing, don't worry. It'll come back in a second.
There. There's the proper link to it.
There's the proper link to it. Tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but... So this came from Petey Williams, this video.
Okay, so I have to actually show video now, don't I?
Well, no, I'm posting it in the chat room.
Yeah, we'll post that on the Facebook. Yeah, for those wondering, there's rollover ads during the live broadcast, so...
They're saying Ustream went dead.
Ustream went dead? Ustream's live. Currently live.
If your Ustream went dead, just try refreshing it.
Yeah, so this is where we're going to check the page.
Anyway, this video comes from Petey Williams. Click, and if you're in the archive, go to Petey Williams' Twitter and watch the video. Because, yeah, his face on it is priceless, as Kane Kitten says. Anyway, Biggie Langston, I've got a trunk full of fireworks and enough of that good time to celebrate hashtag Bret Hart Night. Hashtag singlet with long tights. AJ, I quietly watched Kane eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today, so basically the rest of the week just goes downhill from there. Which, yeah. I'm not sure which is worse, the fact that she was stalking Kane, which we have a whole scenario for this, or the fact that he was sitting there eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because who else could picture him sitting in a cafeteria in his full gear eating a sandwich?
I'm hoping everything's working out. Everything should be working. You should be able to hear us, people.
Can you hear us?
There we go. Now it's working. Okay. Things went offline. Yeah. Anyway, but it had to be fixed. Anyway.
So do I have to repeat myself?
No, you're good for the archive. We're good. Continue on.
Okay, well, for the people live.
For the people live, yes. You can repeat yourself.
Yeah, for the people in the archive, do apologize. But for the people live, we're not talking about the big signing yet. Big E Langston, I've got a trunk full of fireworks and enough of that good time to celebrate hashtag Bret Hart Night, hashtag singlet with long tights. AJ, I quietly watched Kane eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today, so basically the rest of the week just goes downhill from here. To which I kind of wonder which is worse, the fact that she was sitting there stalking him again, or the fact that I can see Kane sitting there in his mask and tights eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
Mental pictures. Complete mental pictures.
Mental pictures, yeah. Like, kind of strange and weird.
And then I have an entire conversation.
Okay.
Dolph Ziggler. I was very lucky to have great teachers at DR Tom Pritchard, at Hustler2754, and Lance had me from day one at Lance Storm, to which he tweets a picture of him and Lance Storm together. BG James responds with, I hope you're doing well, mate. We miss you and need you back. Your dad, at Real Billy Gunn, says he loves you. Hashtag D-O-G-G-L-B. Dolph then replies with, then why did he kick me out the day I turned 18? I'm keeping those trunks and the Famouser. Road Dog responds with, it was tough love, and he says you can have the trunks, but the jury's still out on the Famouser. Dolph then responds with, and he never let me stay up to watch Saturday night's main event. Slams door to my room. Genius! Anyway.
Genius. Yeah. Good stuff. Alright, so, for me, Tweet of the Week, we start with the Twitter known as that not the 90s life. Hashtag awkward situations. You want to go on the internet, but your mom's on the phone. Awkward.
Oh, that sucks.
Another one. Awkward situations. Having like 20 AOL free trial CDs and not knowing what to do with them. Remember getting those CDs from like Blockbuster or your, the grocery store and stuff? You have, like, all these CDs, and you just don't know what to do with them, because it's only, like, 30 days or 90-day trials of AOL, and it's like, how many screen names can you come up with? Gotta love them. Now they're just coasters, or at one point turned into coasters. Now they don't even exist.
I know.
Hell, I remember when AOL was a floppy disk.
I remember that, too.
Sadly. Did you do the one where AJ in her apartment?
No, I did not.
There's a lot of space in my apartment that is underutilized simply because I am too short to reach it. The top shelf is a mystery to me. Shawn Michaels. Someone tweets Shawn Michaels, are you going to wrestle at the age of 70? He responds, I don't wrestle now. Why would I at 70? AJ, just saw an exit sign that had icons for a gas pump, an information center, bathrooms, and a seesaw. I am intrigued. You know, when you see a seesaw, it's always a good time. Up and down, up and down, up and down. If Caitlyn was a mime, I would throw burger wrappers at her. If this is Big E, I'm going to buy Caitlyn a kiddie pool, inflate it, and fill it with water myself. If Caitlyn had her own daytime judge show, I would be the stern bailiff she confided in on her lunch breaks. And then Bobby Roode tweets the following, come on, Wings! CM Punk responds,
that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was tremendous. CM Punk was on fire last night. He really was on fire.
He really was. And AJ, I am totally with you on the whole top shelf thing.
You don't know what's up on your top shelf?
Well, actually, nothing is up on my top shelf because I can't reach it.
Yeah, that is the qualms of being a little short.
I actually have to climb up on top of my countertop to get to the top shelf.
That's work.
That is work. That's why there is nothing on my top shelf.
That would explain why there isn't anything on the top shelf. So, that's Tweet of the Week.
So, we're going to transition back into TNA. Had to take a little break there, just, you know, let everybody cool down from Impact.
Cool down from Impact. And we're going to get into a little bit of Slammiversary, I take it.
A little bit of Slammiversary, but before we get there, there was a bit of a tease today.
There was a bit of a tease today. If you did not see the tease today, one Dixie Carter put out a tweet, and this is where I'm going to find the exact tweet. And the ink is just drying on a big free agent that will rock Impact Live on Spike TV. Tune in and join us on the summer adventure.
Which, of course, you know, made the internet explode immediately.
It did make the internet explode. We have a variety of responses for what people think could actually be happening with this signing.
Well, what's interesting is that a couple of guys have already weighed in saying that they're not it. Dave Bautista shot back when somebody asked him. He said, "Seriously, I'm a WWE guy to the core." So it's not Bautista.
All right. It's not Bautista. MVP shot it down. There's one other person. Dunn Eyes brings up. It's Christian. No.
Christian is still, as far as we know, under contract to
Gilbert.
WWE.
Gilbert, huh? Subway chimed in thinking it might be Carlito.
Could be Carlito. He's a free agent.
He is a free agent with some name value. Some people brought up Rob Van Dam, which is an interesting choice.
He is a free agent, and he technically has no contract right now. Well, that's the same thing, but he was under contract with TNA, and they let it expire, so there were rumors he was going to go to WWE, but so far those haven't materialized.
We got a couple responses, like Roderick Strong, Jay Lethal.
Would Lethal go back?
I'm not sure. I know Dunn-Eyes thinks they left on good terms, but I don't know. I think he's under contract with Ring of Honor still.
I think he is as well, so I don't know if we would see Lethal. We might, and he very well could show up, but I don't think so.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say no offense to Jay Lethal, but he's not necessarily the biggest name out there.
Yeah, he's not a big name. Years ago he would have been bigger, but right now he's kind of plateaued. Before we get to the one name that's really being talked about, let's stick with Rob Van Dam for a second.
Okay.
At this point, is Rob Van Dam a big signing for TNA?
I would have to say yes, just because he still does have name value.
But is he someone where you have to go and outright say you've signed him since he was just with the company?
Yes and no. I think it's more for him, you would say it's a contract renewal as opposed to a
signing.
So that's why I'm thinking it's probably not RVD, just because of the fact that she said it's a signing.
Right, and that's making people question who could it be. Now, there's a name that's floating around. Before we get there, we're just teasing you a little bit. Is it possible a name on the WWE roster their contract ended? And no one knows about it?
Who would it be?
I don't know, but isn't that sort of what happened with Christian? His contract was running out and he left.
I have a really funny feeling that if somebody was leaving WWE, that we would know about it. Like, either they would tweet something unless they had worked the deal with WWE, or they had worked it with TNA before their contract expired.
Right. I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Because when you look at the talent pool, there's not that big name out there that really could catch somebody off, you know, really attract a lot of attention. Especially since WWE's big guys haven't left the company. But the biggest name that has left, and we haven't heard much from, Derek Bateman. No. Not going to be Derek Bateman. Sorry to burst your bubble. He is working down in Florida for AIW or something.
Yeah.
But the name that's being talked about, John Morrison.
We haven't heard anything from Jomo.
Haven't heard anything from Jomo in a while. He's worked. He's been getting back in the game after taking at least 8 months off from action. And has done some indies, I know, a lot lately. At least over the last 6 months, he's really got back into it.
Yeah, and it would be a big signing. It would be a big coup for them. And it would be nice to see him go into TNA and kind of sort of get that spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would be a big grab for them. He was somebody that was always very underutilized in WWE.
Right. And he's been away from WWE where he's not, oh, he's jumping right to them. And he's young. He's a young enough talent where you can actually work with him.
Yeah, and he's somebody that he can go into the X division, he can go into the heavyweight division, he can go into the tag division, he can cross multiple planes,
mm-hmm.
and he'll be a nice addition to the roster. And it'll be a nice fresh name because we haven't really, and I would really say since they're refreshing the X division right now, that's probably where he ends up to begin with, before kind of transitioning over to the heavyweight division.
I don't know. I can't see him going to X Division. He has the moveset, but he's a little bit big for the X Division.
Unless he's the quote-unquote hero that's going to take down Bully Ray.
No, too soon.
Too soon?
His best position is upper mid-card to start off with, but not the guy, because you always have Jeff Hardy as the guy. Because they'll never surpass Jeff Hardy.
No, they'll never surpass Jeff Hardy. Another rumored name, speaking of Jomo, that was going around was also Matt Hardy, too.
There's Matt Hardy, but I can't see it being Matt. Matt's doing stuff with ROH, and he's well, you know, tied into their storylines. As it were, and I think he's getting a future title shot in the next couple months. I think that's where they're headed with him.
Probably.
But yeah, it makes you wonder. Everyone thought, oh, tonight would be the start of it. It's not, because it was taped, but it makes you question, will it happen Sunday?
I would guess it happens Sunday or it happens Thursday. I would almost lean more towards it happens next Thursday, just because Sunday is such a stacked card and there's so much going on that making a big announcement like that, mm-hmm. especially when you've got the Hall of Fame announcement on there already, that it's going to kind of get lost in the shuffle. And it's not going to have the impact that you want it to have.
Right.
So it's something of you announce it on Thursday where you're coming down off of pay-per-view and you're starting to build towards Bound for Glory, where it's, oh, hey, we've got X person, and you bring them out.
Right. That would make sense. But again, because of the way their tapings go, they're not live. So, there is that whole thing.
They're not live tonight? Or they're not live next Thursday?
Well, they're taping that's live to tape because of the time now. Since they're starting at 9, not 8.
Right.
So it's still live, but it's not live. You know what I mean? It's, anyway.
There's not enough time for it to get out.
This is
as
true.
As far as spoilers go.
This is true. Now, you brought up the TNA Hall of Fame. You want to go into our question tonight before we do it?
Yeah. So, our question of the night is as follows. Who do we think is going to be the inductee for this year's TNA Hall of Fame? And what did the fans have to say? What do the people have to say?
The people have to say, you know, Alan Wojcik, Bob Ryder's boat.
I don't think that's eligible, Alan, but good try.
Kane Kittens, Claire Lynch.
No! Corner!
Matthew Forsina, Tara.
That would be an interesting one.
Bully Ray, maybe Kurt Angle or Jeff Jarrett.
Jarrett would be a good one. Bully Ray is too soon. Kurt Angle is too soon.
Jerry Jarrett.
Jerry would be a good one.
We had one for AJ Styles or Cowboy James Storm.
I can see it, but I think it's a little too soon.
Your friend Melinda said Scott Steiner.
Interesting.
But, you know, she was kind of joking, but she says we all know we'll be Kurt Angle. But one, we had a little conversation and we came to the conclusion that who it won't be.
We did.
It won't be Bubba the Love Sponge.
No, it will not be Bubba the Love Sponge.
Sorry, it will not be Bubba the Love Sponge. Sorry. But then there's the name Mace tossed out, and it's been tossed around a little bit here. Jerry Lynn.
Father of the X Division. I can see that.
So who do you think?
I can see it being Jerry Lynn. I know who I want it to be. I would like to see it either be Jeff or Jerry, just as a recognition of that. Their contribution to the company. It won't be either of them just based on their affiliation with it, but it would be nice to see them.
Right.
I can see it being Jerry Lynn. I can see it being Hogan.
Right.
Because Sting went in last year, so I can see them putting in Hogan this year.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really the only names that I can see, just because Angle and Storm and Styles and a lot of the TNA originals are still
active
and too young, and that's, and to his credit, Sting is still active. He's not as active as he was, but it's, to me, it's like the Hall of Fame is kind of one of those things where it's kind of that signifier that you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the last, it may not be the last big thing that you do in your career, but as far as wrestling goes, you're either completely done or you're transitioning out of the ring into another field.
Right.
Either within the business or outside the business. So, as far as Angle goes, he's still active and he's still quite a ways away from retirement by everything he's indicating.
Right.
Storm's far from done. Styles is far from done. Any of the TNA guys that started the company are far from done. I can really see it being Hogan or Jerry Lynn at this stage.
Right.
Just because they're both, Jerry had his last match over the spring, actually I think like a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hogan has been retired from the ring for quite some time due to physical incapabilities. So I can see it being either one of those. What do you think?
This Jerry Lynn name, it seems right. It seems timely. It seems fitting enough. I don't know. I don't see anyone else worthy at this point. They're bringing up Kevin Nash and Raven and Vince Russo. Those are some interesting names. But Jerry Lynn makes the most sense.
Well, to be fair, Matt threw out an interesting name.
Earl Hebner.
He did indicate he was getting ready to retire soon.
But is a referee Hall of Fame worthy?
I think in Earl Hebner's case, he is. He is the most infamous ref.
But not TNA infamous.
Yes and no.
Not as much as WWE.
Not as much as WWE, but it's Earl Hebner.
Don West. Mike Tenay. Wow.
Well, actually, you could technically induct Tenay.
You could induct Tenay.
You could induct Don West, too.
You could induct Tracy Brooks?
No, Tracy, no.
No.
Maybe her boobs, but not her.
It's going to be interesting. We were surprised with Sting last year. They're going to surprise us Sunday.
They are going to surprise us, and that's why I'm kind of curious to see who they're going to pick.
Right. That'll be interesting.
Oh, Matt. Oh, ow.
Ouch, sir. Ouch.
Dude!
You mean Terror being in TNA isn't infamous? Or is she more infamous for being in Terrified, which premieres next Saturday, June 8th, at the Squared Circle in Chicago? Go to rockradioshow.com, click on the little banner for more details.
Ooh. So, yeah. We'll have to see Jutton Eyes. It may be Jerry Lynn. It may be somebody completely off the wall. We don't know. We'll have to see. And as far as TNA starting a Hall of Fame, well, we had that discussion last year.
We had that discussion for that last year, yeah. So, let's get into a little bit of pick'em and preview.
Let's do it.
By the way, for those who are playing along in our chat room, please submit your picks in the chat room. You can be entered into our contest, which we'll be giving away a prize from memleanpro.com. Here's how you enter. Just make your picks. Simple as that. Those listening to the archive, send your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can send them to twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or post them in our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network. You have until about Sunday around 5-6 p.m. Eastern. Get your picks in. If you make picks and want to change them, tell us by Saturday. And all that fancy dancy stuff. That being said, where do you want to start?
Well, I say we start with, honestly, the match that nobody, sadly, really cares about. And that would be the Gut Check Tournament Final, where you have Jay Bradley taking on Sam Shaw for a shot at the Bound for Glory series.
Sam Shaw. Because I think Jay Bradley's too generic. I'm going Sam Shaw.
I'll go with Jay Bradley just because I like him better.
Alright, so you like him better. There's not much really you can say. It's two men trying to earn their way into Bound for Glory series, which apparently is shaping up to be a big one, according to Dixie Carter.
Well, you know what? I hope it's exciting. I really do.
I hope
last
so
year's
too.
Was exciting, even though they technically went with the wrong choice
anyway.
To win. But anyway.
So yes, there's not much really we can say about that one.
Unfortunately. We'd like to say more, but we just don't have that much exposure to them, so I guess we'll get more on Sunday.
We'll get more on Sunday, see how they go.
So up next we have Gail Kim taking on Taryn Terrell.
And it will be Last Knockout Standing.
This should be interesting.
I'm curious.
I know how girls fight. And I know the intensity in this feud. I want to see this.
You want to see this?
I want to see, because this sounds like it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out, hair-pulling kind of fight.
Mm-hmm.
Between these two.
They've been going at it for a few months now, and every time they do, they just rip into one another. And I think we're going to get a nice little brawl between these two. This has been a really well done feud. Apparently, especially with this Gail Kim and her aggressive streak lately, with the knees going after Terror and Velvet and Taryn, yeah. They're going to tear into each other for a little bit. It's not going to be the best longest match, but they're going to tear into one another.
What's nice is Taryn is not the best in the ring, and so doing a last person standing match is a nice way to cover that.
Right.
Because they can basically beat the crap out of each other for 5-10 minutes and put a nice fight together as opposed to a wrestling match. Where they claw at each other's faces, they pull out each other's hair, Gail does her spot on the ring post. All that kind of stuff. So it should be... I'm looking forward to it.
Right. I'm looking forward to the match as well. The build-up has been great. As far as a winner goes... I'm honestly torn. But before we get into winner, I'm liking what Dunnice is pointing out. Big signings, Amazing Kong, or Beth Phoenix. Those would be interesting.
We haven't heard much out of Kong.
I think Beth is done. I don't think she's coming back to wrestling.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think Beth might be done, but it could be her as well. She would be a welcomed addition to the Knockouts division, I'm sure.
They both would, yeah.
I don't think Kong would come back just because I don't think TNA left... She left TNA with a happy... feeling.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that. So, I don't think it's going to be Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Just because also they can't introduce her on her WWE name, which was Karma, even though all the internet marks knew she was Awesome Kong. And she's got more name recognition as Awesome Kong. They can't use the WWE name, and it doesn't really... Because she was only there for a cup of coffee, it doesn't really... do much for her at this stage.
Right. Anyway, back to the match. I don't know. Even the stalling time has not given me a clear, decisive winner in my head. So who are you going with?
Honestly, I gotta go with Gail.
Okay.
And I see her winning by shenanigans, and she gets the upper hand on Taryn. Just because it's Gail. I'm sure there will be interference in this match. I'm sure there will be all kinds of stuff. Because just based on what they did with Velvet tonight, I don't know if Tara's going to be at the pay-per-view. But, yeah, I see Gail getting the upper hand. But I can also see Taryn getting lucky in either via interference or something else. But my gut's telling me Gail. So I'm going with Gail. Especially since they set up a potential feud after the pay-per-view for Gail and Velvet.
Yeah.
Over the title.
Yeah. Gail Kim. Yeah, I'll go with Gail Kim. It makes more sense. Because they gave Taryn the first win. Gail gets her win back.
All right, night, Matt.
Up next, the six-person tag? Six-man tag, rather?
Yes, you have Steve, Garrett, and Wes taking on Joe, Magnus, and Jeff Hardy.
Go with Team Joe, just because.
Yeah, I gotta go with Team Joe. You've got Hardy coming back. You're not gonna have Hardy job on his return.
And with this being the low end of the Aces and Eights, yeah. I have a feeling Aces and Eights are not gonna have a happy night.
No.
Throughout the show. Yeah, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, and Magnus with the fire and the intensity. Samoa Joe seems to pick the win.
Something tells me some folks are going to be getting their comeuppance.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So, yeah. Gotta go with the good guys on this one. After this, we've got Ultimate X. Suicide takes on Kenny King and Chris Sabin.
It's an Ultimate X match. Shows that there's no Destination X, so they brought the gimmick for this show.
Which is nice because it gives it emphasis again.
It does.
It's like, holy crap, they're doing an Ultimate X match. Yes! Sorry.
Don't apologize. For those in the chat room, just post your pics in the chat room, and Kankins is gracious enough to copy them down and put them into his spreadsheet for us. So if you're live in the chat room, just put them in the chat. We're getting a hold of your pics. Don't worry. It's that simple. We make it that simple for you people.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this match. Tonight really helped sell it. Kenny King does nothing for me. He really doesn't, especially as X Division champion. I can't buy into him. He misses something. He's missing something right now. I'm not sure what it is.
I think, for me at least, Kenny King is trying to be the cocky jackass heel, and he's trying too hard. He almost comes off at times really very cheesy.
Right.
And very contrived.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of, at least, I have a problem with him, and probably you have a problem with him as well, where just, there is no natural quality to it.
Right.
Whereas Sabin comes off more genuine, obviously, because he's using a real life experience as his drive, and then Suicide is Suicide.
Right.
He's from a video game. There ain't nothing genuine about that one. But
TNA has a video game. What?
Shh.
I know. Chris Sabin, Suicide, Kenny King. Oof. I hope Chris Sabin doesn't do anything stupid.
I hope Chris Sabin doesn't do anything stupid. I hope Suicide doesn't do anything stupid. I hope Kenny King doesn't do anything stupid. But either way, hopefully this will be a good match. It's not Kazarian or Daniels under the Suicide mask. It's TJ something?
TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins, thank you. So, I unfortunately did not get to see the match last week with Suicide, so I'm curious to see how he works as the character.
Right. He looked good last week. As far as a winner goes, I'm going Sabin, the redemption story. It tells a much better story.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I think they're gonna give the nod to Sabin. They've been building him up as he's on his road to redemption. He's waited 2 years for this moment. And actually, he's kind of waited longer because he was in the tag division before he got hurt.
Right.
So, Chris Sabin hasn't been X Division champion forever and a day. And honestly, I think, no offense to Kenny King, they could get more visibility out of Chris Sabin at this stage than they could Kenny King.
Right.
Especially since making Chris Sabin champion would potentially draw a lot of the older fans back in who maybe have walked away from the product because it's a name they remember. And since you're trying to rebuild the X Division, it's a nice nod to have one of the original members of the X Division as your champion.
I would agree. So, all around Chris Sabin?
All around Chris Sabin.
TNA television titles on the line. D-Von, yes, will defend against Joseph Park. I'm going with our favorite lawyer on this one. He finally gets his first championship. Because in my head, Aces and H struggle on this pay-per-view, and D-Von losing would be a big struggle for the group. And they lose a piece of power because they lose a piece of gold. And putting it on Joseph Park will give the belt new meaning. I'm going Joseph Park on this one.
I'm going Joseph Park gets the win, but I'm thinking he doesn't get the belt.
Okay.
I'm thinking he wins via DQ, just because I don't think they're ready to put a belt on that character. Joseph Park, he definitely deserves it, no question. I think they're still addressing some things with Joseph Park, and they need to make him a little bit stronger before they put a title on him.
Okay.
That being said, I can see him still getting the win over D-Von via shenanigans, because it's going to happen either in this match or in the title match at this stage. And so D-Von, they keep the gold, they keep the belt, but D-Von cannot get the job done.
So, D-Von, Joseph Park via DQ for you.
Yes.
Okay. Tag team titles online. Four-way elimination tag team match. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez defend against Bad Influence. The Dirty Heels, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. And James Storm and Gunner. Our tiebreaker scenario is, what team gets eliminated first? This has been building for a while. This match, they've been building it for, at least 2 months, if not longer, especially with the three other teams. It's been going back and forth for a long time now, even since the beginning of the year, most likely. Then when they added James Storm to the picture, it got more interesting, especially when he cost both teams the match, and then, injured his groin, being a referee, good going James. Then you add Gunner into the situation. Said Sunday Bad Influence. I'm sticking with Bad Influence because I see a title change happening in this one. Because I just don't like Chavo and Hernandez. It's their act is over with me. I'm just done with it. They can break up at this point. I'm okay with it.
Chavo does nothing for me. Chavo is just... Chavo just lacks spark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way to connect to him. He's very generic. And I know he's trying to be himself, and that's fine. But it's like, there's nothing that makes me want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate saying that, but it's like, when they tie his name to Eddie, and that's all they mention is the fact, the Guerrero family, and they bring up the fact that he's the nephew of the late, great Eddie Guerrero, in a lot of ways it feels like they're trying to transfer some of Eddie's greatness onto Chavo. And it just doesn't work, because Chavo just doesn't have the same charm, the same ability in the ring. I mean, he's good, don't get me wrong, but he lacks the natural charisma that Eddie had.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. I mean, even he's always kind of been to me, and maybe that's just how he was presented to me, but he was always kind of a background player. You know, even when he was with Eddie, when he was with Vicky, he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
That's a good way to put it.
And he's a nice secondary character. He's a nice supporting character, but as the star, he doesn't do anything for me. And honestly, between the two, I think Hernandez does more for me, just because he's freaking huge, but he can fly, and he moves like he's 200 pounds.
Right.
Which he's clearly not. So it's Hernandez does more for me than Chavo does. But yeah, I gotta go with Bad Influence on this one. They're due. They're really due. I think they're probably gonna break Chavo and Hernandez up, or the Dirty Heels up for the Bound for Glory series.
Right.
Somebody's getting split for that. And then Storm and Gunner is a one-shot. Basically, Gunner is there to cover for the fact that Storm is injured. I don't see Storm being very active in the match. He'll probably do what he did tonight. He'll be on the apron. He'll maybe hit one or two spots. And that's it.
Right. This for a shocker. Chavo and Hernandez are out first.
I can see that.
What's your pick?
I'm going with Storm and Gunner out first.
Okay.
You get Storm out of there early, so that way he's not standing on the apron the entire time.
Right.
While Gunner's doing all the work. So basically, you have them go out there, you have them hit their spots, and then you could potentially have Storm take the fall. And that's that.
Okay. Up next, AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle. This has a chance to be match of the night.
Oh, easily.
A motivated Kurt, a motivated AJ, match of the night contender. Easily.
And it's going to be interesting with AJ's new outlook.
Yeah.
Because he's not working the same as when he was the good guy or the quote-unquote bad guy. He's working a much more physical style. It was very apparent tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be good.
This is going to be good. Don't remember who I picked Sunday. I'm going Kurt and AJ.
I gotta go with AJ as well.
AJ picks up the victory and continues on his path to wherever he's going. But I think Angle gets his win back on the Thursday show.
Probably, yeah. And there could be shenanigans in this one as well.
Possibly. This leads us to the main event, TNA World Heavyweight Titles on the line. Sting challenges Bully Ray. If Sting does not win, he can no longer get a title shot in his career. So this is possibly the last time that Sting fights for a world heavyweight title. I like the build, and I love the stipulation.
Yeah, this isn't that. This tip's a nice ad.
Because Bully Ray wins. Without question, Bully Ray wins this match, and Bully Ray keeps the title, and this is interesting. This is one thing TNA does well. They book themselves into stipulations and have to stick to them. And this is the perfect stipulation for Sting. Because he's always the fallback for TNA whenever it comes to a title match. He's the fallback plan. Now he's no longer that fallback plan.
Right.
He is now going... They're going to have to find someone else to be that fallback option. And that's why Bully Ray has to win this match. Because Sting in the title picture is done. They need to move on from that. And I think Sting knows that. I think that's why the stipulation's involved. This is going to be a brawl. It's not going to be a very long brawl. Bully Ray pulls it out. Probably with help. Because the Ace and Ace are going to probably have to make up for their losses throughout the night. Bully Ray keeps the belt, in my opinion. What about you?
I would have to agree. I think Sting and the booking team both realize that it's time to move beyond having Sting be the fallback guy, and what's nice is you could have Sting sort of fade off into the background a little bit, mm-hmm. and maybe have him fade out, and have him potentially become that... I kind of refer to Sting as the taker of TNA.
Right.
Because he really kind of is.
Yeah, without, he is. He is.
Without the massive injuries.
Well, Sting's had his injuries too, so...
But...
Especially his shoulder.
Oh yes, especially his shoulder. But you have Sting sort of fade out, and he becomes that featured performer where every time Sting is there, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And to his credit, it is still a big deal whenever Sting shows up, but... It makes it that much more special when Sting is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he could maybe become more of the fallback guy of when they need the hero, when they need that person that's morally upstanding and is going to stand up for the right, Sting comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Or you also have Sting transition into more Hulk Hogan's advisor.
I can see that too.
Where Hogan... Because I can also kind of see them as an offshoot, Hulk's, you know, Hogan's objectivity into question.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, he's heavily involved in the Aces and Eights because his daughter is married to the president. That's not going to make him a objective figure.
Right.
It doesn't make Sting one either, but Sting is less because he does not have family involved in the situation. So... I could see them maybe potentially doing a power shift as well, but that's for another time.
Right.
I don't see them putting the belt on Sting just because they've either got to change it then on TV or they have to wait till Bound for Glory, and I honestly don't see Sting wanting to hold the title.
No, because you don't need him holding the title.
Yeah, for 3 months, because he's not there all the time and he doesn't work house shows usually. So you want to keep it on somebody that's going to be around and Bully is around. And also, since they didn't address the question of what happens if Bully can't get the job done, they didn't bring it up, I would have to say Bully is going to retain.
Bully retained, but the rest of the group struggles, and that could lead to some problems going forward.
Right. That's going to be the eventual... split up of the group probably is the fact that they all get demoted. But I think the big question mark, at least in this match, is Brooke Hogan.
What kind of role will she play?
If she plays one at all. I mean, you've got Bully playing mind games with her. You've got Bully playing mind games with Hulk. So the question then becomes, are we going to see another turn, either Brooke or Hulk? Are we going to see... Bully turn on the Aces and Eights? Basically, what's going to happen? And that's the biggest question mark is, I think Bully retains.
Right.
I would almost like to see Bully retain clean. Where he doesn't have help. He does it on his own. The only help he kind of would get would be if Brooke tries to get involved, or Hogan tries to get involved, or somebody on the outside, somebody on the other side tries to get involved, and the Aces and Eights come out to mediate the situation.
Right.
And stop Bully from losing because of an outside distraction. So I can see that, but I would almost like Bully to win clean just to further emphasize the fact that I am leader, I am the president, I am the champion. Because he sort of leads by example. So, and yelling. So it's, I can see him doing that. But at the same time, I can also see shenanigans. So I'm going to say Bully wins.
So that's Slammiversary Live this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Call your local cable providers or press the buy button on your on-demand systems, or cable systems, rather, and purchase the pay-per-view. Send in your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio. And Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You have until Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Eastern, to get your picks in for the show. This leads to the part of the show, Ask the Magic eight ball.
That's right. Cue the non-existent Twilight Zone music. Here's the magic eight ball.
So the question I ask, will I get the email I've been waiting for tomorrow?
Will Rock get the email he's been waiting for tomorrow? It's on the point.
Goddamn point.
Signs point to yes.
Sweet. I'm holding this eight ball to, you know, truthfulness.
I'm sure.
I tell Let's him, see. So. What do you have to ask the eight ball?
Let's see. All right, King Kittens. Oh, Magic 8-Ball. Will I get the job at UNM I applied for and be moving to Albuquerque?
Dun, 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 dun.
Signs point to yes.
So there you
Let's
go.
Let's see.
Anything, chat with me. Any questions? Do you want to ask Magic 8-Ball? Bring it up to use.
Will I get any of the jobs I applied for? Oh, fuck you, 8-Ball. Signs point to no. Figure that.
Go figure that one. Will Teddy Hart and Jack Evans return to TNA in the future?
Will Teddy Hart and Jack Evans return to TNA in the future? Without a doubt.
There you go. Anything else you want to ask the Magic 8-Ball peoples before we wrap up this show tonight?
Anything? Anything.
Will go ahead.
Will the Lady Vols win the College Softball World Series? It is certain. The 8-Ball's very positive tonight.
Except when talking to you.
Except when talking to me. Will Dean Ambrose ever be a WWE champion? Signs point to yes.
Well, there you go.
Will I ever marry Dean Ambrose?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes! It said yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, here for the first time ever, Mr. and Mrs. Dean Ambrose.
Hey, you know what? We just met, and this is crazy, but here's my hand. Marry me, maybe.
Yeah, and then, Sharon, you said I was bad with lyrics.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny. It's just thing is going stuck in my head now. God damn you. Anyway.
As opposed to do.
Don't even start.
Will the Indiana Pacers somehow overcome the odds and defeat the Miami Heat in their Eastern Conference Finals series to face the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals? Very doubtful. And no, I did not keep shaking it until it said yes. Will this be Undertaker's final match?
Will what be Undertaker's final match? You know.
It says very doubtful. I think you gotta be more clear. Will Loki win the X Division title upon his return? Most likely. But he's gotta return. Will John Morrison be the big signing for TNA? Better not tell you now.
Kane Kittens, go to your corner now. Thank you.
Don't worry. I'll trick him. I can record now.
Yeah, shut up.
Will the Falcons win the Super Bowl? Yes. Let's see. Will WrestleMania be Taker's last match? My sources say no. And Kane Kittens, core Ner. I can tell you this much, the Falcons have a better shot at it than the Cowboys do. Just saying. At least our quarterback is accurate.
Tim Tebow to the Cowboys. Anyway.
Just saying.
Yeah, pay me. Pay me.
Anyway.
Pay
me. Any more questions? Going once. Going twice. Alright, we are putting it away for the evening.
So there you go.
So, alright, we are going to wrap things up for the night, because I think we're both spent.
It's been a long show, yeah.
It has been a long show. So, what else can we listen to on the network?
Saturday Night Midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. You never know, we may play games beforehand. You never know, someone may get bored, we may play games. You never know, it's... Check the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that fun stuff. Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Mason, Megan, myself, and Lindsay. We'll recap the TNA Slammiversary, 11 p.m. Eastern. One night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap Monday Night Raw in about 45 minutes. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He will be speaking with... Who the hell is he talking to this week?
I don't know.
I don't know. I can't remember. So Kingkins will probably remind me at some point. I can't remember who he's talking to. But it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's at Cheap Heat Radio. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Matthew Fuercina. Next Thursday, it's Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Go to RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com as well. Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net, and all that fun, happy stuff, Lindsay.
Alright, well, you can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to my Twitter, at Lins Ward. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And, of course, go to RackRadioShow.com. You can also check out my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com. And visit all the other fine programming on this network. We all work very hard. Go to the WTR production site, as Rock said. Visit WildTalkRadio.com. And, of course, visit our awesome sponsors, PW Mania, TNA Asylum, and MemLanePromo.com. They've got news. They've got notes. They've got autographs. Only MemLane Promo. The others two don't. Just pointing that out. So, anyway, we will be back next week, where we will be recapping Slammiversary. We'll be talking about Impact and, of course, all the news and plenty of discussions. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.